creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
On this episode of Culture Click, we feature the thoughts and reflections of Winonans on the Vietnam War. During this multi-part presentation, you'll hear from those who were in combat, those who were married to soldiers, and to individuals that had friends and family serving. You'll hear their thoughts on the war, how it's changed their lives forever, and more. Today's presentation is part of Remembering Vietnam, which was an exhibit at the Winona County History Center. The talk was put on by Tomas Tovayas, a professor of history at Winona State University. You will hear from Jerome Christensen, Teresa Erickson, Billy Kermano, and Gordon Nelson. I'm Terry Tunstead, inviting you to Culture Click.
Good afternoon. I remember vividly when I first became aware of Vietnam. It was somewhere between Mabel and Harmony on the highway. My dad was driving. I was 12. And of course, he had the radio on. It was at the time a monitor radio, you might remember, news on the hour. And the announcement was of the Gulf of Tonkin attacks, supposed attacks. And we were driving, and Dad got really quiet. And he looked over at me and said, "Sounds like we got a war going on over there. Thank God you're not going to have, you're too young to have to be worrying about it." I wasn't. Neither were most of us in this room. Vietnam has shaped our lives. It's shaped our country. It continues to do so. I wouldn't be here in Winona, likely, if it wouldn't have been for Vietnam in its strange ways that it inserted itself into our lives. It's amazing how differences of age that now that we're all in our 60s and more seem inconsequential, a couple of years here, a couple of years there, loom so huge at the time. When Emil was going into college, I was going into sixth grade. 1968, I was 16. Roger was fighting the Tet Offensive. I was hearing about it, reading about it. 2 years later, I was a senior. Jim was getting drafted. I was looking at the same prospects. A lot had changed. I grew up in Caledonia, a small town. My uncles had served in the Second World War, had served in the Army in the 50s, depending on where they were. I considered myself a good American boy, as we all did. And there's this war going on. And every year that it went on, it seemed to make a little less and a little less sense. Tet left us rattled. Then the president quit because of the war. He was going to end it. In 1968, all the talk was how do we end this war? And it was pretty clear to me by then that this war was going to end. And it wasn't going to end the way World War II ended. And the question lurking, I think, in the back of every guy that was my age in this country was, am I going to be the last guy to get killed in Vietnam? And that was not something I think that any of us wanted to have be our fate, or the fate of anyone we knew. My birthday, my 18th birthday, was June 30th, 1970. The last day to be eligible for a 2S student deferment was June 30th, 1970. You're damn straight I had my paperwork in order. I also knew where I was going to college. I was going to Winona State because living in Caledonia, I knew quite a few people that went to Winona State. And with all due respect to Emil, who was teaching here, I knew it was one school I was smart enough not to flunk out of. No matter how badly I screwed off. And it was because of the state of Minnesota, and tuition at that time was my first year at Winona State. I came with $1,500 in my checking account, paid tuition, paid room and board, drank a lot of beer, and ended up with a positive balance when I ended up in the spring, because Minnesota still supported higher education. My parents, my grandparents, did a much better job of that than our generation has. And I was against the war. I don't know that I was against the war for political reasons, for reasons of ideology. I knew all the arguments and I voiced them quite regularly. But that's not what stirred it. What stirred it was Bill Cohen. Bill was a friend of mine. Went to school with him. Sat in front of me and fifth hour study hall. He was such a big guy that little scrawny runt like me, I could hide behind him and screw off and he'd get in trouble and I wouldn't. Bill was not college material, as we look at it. Matter of fact, course of his career, Bill managed to flunk three grades. He was 21 years old when he graduated. But he graduated. His family had a strong tradition of military service, and Bill signed up. He graduated in 1969 in November, he died. A helicopter crash in Vietnam. He died and could as well have been the last American to die in Vietnam. And while I honor Bill as a friend, as an American, as a patriot, I can also say all I could think of is what a goddamn waste. What a goddamn waste. So here I am. Damn near 50 years later. Here we all are. And we're still talking about Vietnam. We're still getting choked up. We still remember the people on both sides, the emotions, which is a good thing as we damn straight better not forget. And to all you guys that were out there, were there, thank you. Thank you. And for everybody who was against the war, passionate, thank you too. Let's just make sure that we never do a damn stupid thing like that again.
Thank you so much, Jerome, and thank you for all presenters for eloquent presentations and sharing the views. But as you know from my introductory comments, this is meant to be not only presentations but discussions. So now at this time, I would like to welcome anybody who would like to share something in their minds, on their hearts with the community, whether they were for war or against the war or somewhere in between, how the war affected them. So I would welcome anybody's questions, comments, and possibly maybe you could come forward. So if you could come, Teresa, please come forward. Yep. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Teresa Erickson, and my husband Jim was a Marine in Vietnam. He fought from 1967 to 68. He was there during the Tet Offensive. I did not know Jim at the time. I'm a native of Pine Island, Minnesota, and Jim was 6 years older than I, so when I was in high school when he was in Vietnam, and even at that time in high school, I was editor of the school paper. I was very interested in veterans. I had a cousin who was over in Vietnam. I was interested in the what was going on, and I did a lot of editorials in the school newspaper about veterans and veterans issues. I was against the demonstrations. I felt that they hurt the people, the boots on the ground over in Vietnam. I thought they were kind of not supportive of the troops. Whether I believed in the war or not, I mean, I don't really like war, but I felt we should support the troops, the people that had to be there because their country said they had to be there. And they were drafted and they were over there and they were fighting for freedoms. And so when I did meet Jim, we were married in 1978, so it was actually 10 years, almost 10 years after the war by the time we met, and I could see evidences of post-traumatic stress disorder in Jim. He was up by the DMZ the whole time. He was a heavy combat vet. He was in Quezon part of the time, and I could see some evidences of it. But he once told me that at that time he couldn't get any help. He said he was told, "You're a Marine, suck it up." And so he just kind of kept a lot of things to himself. He tried to adjust. He actually did very well. He was a good husband, a very good man. He died in 2006 of heart disease. And although he didn't talk about the war a lot, the things he did tell me were horrible. And I'm sure there was a lot of things that he kept from me because he didn't want to try to relive it every day. He wanted to go on with his life and try to make a living and be a good person. But the war, I know, was always with him. And the war, in a way, was always with me, too, even though I was a civilian, because of being married to Jim, because of my cousin, because of just the events that swirled around me as a person. And I know that the war affected Jim like it did everyone. And I still miss him. I love him, loved him, and still do love him very much. And I learned so much from him about war, about being in a combat zone, even though he didn't talk a lot about it. And so I am here in his place today, I guess you could say, because he did pass away in 2006. And I'm still interested in veterans and veterans issues. I want to say thank you to all of you in this room who served your country with distinction. And I thank you for fighting for whatever reason, because your country sent you there, because you thought you were fighting for freedom. I mean, there has to be some way that we can support veterans, veterans' issues, because you gave up years of your life to fight for your country. And I want to say thank you, and thank you all for listening to me as well.
Thank you so much, Teresa. This was Teresa Erickson. The reason I know her last name is because she was a student of mine. A little while ago, I want just to recognize how dedicated she is, how wonderful she is, how inspiring she is as a model student to the young generation. She used to be a student at Winona State, and then she didn't finish the degree, but now she's back in school and doing an excellent job. So thank you, Teresa, for doing all great work. We really admire you. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right, so now I would like to welcome anybody else who would like to share what is on their minds, that to contribute what you want others to know about your experiences in the war, against the war, something that maybe sometimes might be difficult to share, but in this environment, you'd like to come forward. Billy Kurman, a local artist and Vietnam veteran, and also protester against the war, member of the VVAW. So, Mr. Kurmano, come on over. Thank you.
I just thought it was important to say something about people that went to war and then came back and tried to end it in whatever way they could. And that's, Tomas mentioned VVAW, that's Vietnam Veterans Against the War. I was drafted, I'm a combat wounded Vietnam veteran. I was also there during the Tet Offensive. I was a paratrooper. And I was naive enough when I went into the service to like the paratrooper boots. And that was one of the reasons I became a paratrooper. I thought their boots were really cool. And it wasn't my best decision ever. And when I came back from Vietnam, I was the first person arrested in the student strike at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. So I worked both sides of the aisle. We never tried to do anything that was disrespectful to any of the members that served. We had a slogan that was honor the warrior, not the war. And notice that after Vietnam fell, all the dominoes did not fall. I still do a number of things to work for peace because I think that's very important. I wanted to be a pacifist. That doesn't seem to fit my personality. So I'm not against having a military. I think we need it. And the first thing that happened when I came back from Vietnam, I went to my best friend in high school's funeral, who had just been killed in Vietnam. And I painted a picture of him. I went to an art supply store and asked how I could make oil paints dry more quickly. And they gave me Japan dryer because I had to paint this picture quickly so they could put it in a floral arrangement. And I gave it to his parents. And his mother told me she would never part with it. And thank you, Tomas, and the History Center for putting this together.
I have a question. Were you against the war while you were there or when you got home? After you were there?
After I got there and I was there, I realized that this was not my country I was fighting in. I was seeing it more as a civil war, even though the North had the help of the Chinese and the Soviets, but the South had the help of us and our allies. But in reality, it seemed to me that it was a civil war and I didn't belong there. And I knew for a fact that if some people from another country came into my neighborhood and tried to tell us how to run it, my friends and I would have resisted in some way. So I started having an epiphany while I was there, thinking that I just didn't belong there, but I was trapped in a uniform. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Billy. So I welcome other contributions, how you fought the war abroad, at home, internal war that may be still ongoing. So welcome anybody else to share, please. Thanks. So Gordon Nelson will be next.
Good afternoon. My name is Gordy Nelson. I'm a member of the local chapter of the Military Order of the Purple Heart. I was a college student with a four-year deferment, but I wasn't going to get done in 4 years. Fortunately, the summer before my fifth year, I was in a construction accident and I broke my right wrist. So when they called me up for my physical, I had a cast on, so I failed physical. And during that last year of my college, they called me up two other times and I failed the physical because I had a splint on it. And I graduated, and I immediately signed a contract to teach elementary school. And the draft called me again up for a physical, and I was flat-footed, colorblind, and I had a 15% disability, my right wrist, and I passed. So 2 weeks before I was going to start my first job, I was drafted into the military, and I was trained as a combat medic down at Fort Sam Houston, Texas. And when we graduated down there, they told us that we were the ones that were going to Nam already knew who we were. And they said, well, you guys will be spending 6 months in the field and then 6 months working in a hospital. That did not happen. The only time I saw a hospital was when I was a casualty. So I spent the entire year with 101st Airborne Division, A Company, 3rd Platoon, the 3rd Herd, we called ourselves. I was the medic. I was 24 years old. I was older than the rest of the kids in my platoon. They were, 18, 19 years old. And they looked out for me because I was the medic, because something happened. I had to be there, which made me feel kind of good because everybody's looking out for me. But the bad part of it was I had to go on every ambush, every patrol, you name it. And if one of these kids had a problem, say, things I remember, them getting a Dear John from home, it would just affect them immensely. And I'd try to talk them through it, and then I'd go tell the lieutenant, don't put him out on point today because he doesn't care what happens to him. A little bit about helicopters. To this day, I can hear a helicopter coming before anybody else can, because that meant a little touch with reality. We had resupply every 6 days. You'd wait to hear that chopper coming. When we had wounded to get out, you'd listen for that chopper and, hear it in the distance coming. And my first ride on a helicopter was my first combat mission. And I didn't know any better. We were packed, 6 day rations, 65 pounds on my back. And I crawled in the helicopter and I sat on the floor in the middle. And I soon learned that's not the place to be. Because when we're flying into this combat zone, they're hitting it with I'm sitting in the middle, right? And I'm looking out the front of the helicopter. There's plexiglass down by your feet there. So I can see everything that's coming up. The trees are coming up and everything. And then we finally get down to drop us off. I'm in the middle, sitting on the floor, and the other two guys, they held five guys with full gear. The other two guys on each door were sitting with their legs hanging out. So it was easy for them to get out, but I'm in the middle, sitting on the floor, and I'm trying to get this pack over to the door and get out, and the door gunner on the opposite side kind of just reached over, and he gave me a little tap on the back and pushed me out the helicopter. And that was my first experience of many. You know, one of the things that I deal with yet today is when I think of the families of the 58,300, I think it is now, that lost somebody over there. And it just bothers me today, you know, what a waste that was. One last thing I'd like to remind you that our organization has a monument down at the park. And if you have family members or anyone you know that was wounded during any war, we do have bricks to put in for them if they would notify us. And thank you for coming.
Thanks again to the Winona County History Center and to Tomas Tovesis, history professor at Winona State University, for our presentation on Remembering Vietnam. Another thank you goes out to today's speakers, Jerome Christensen, Teresa Erickson, Billy Kermano, and Gordon Nelson. Tune in next week as we continue our coverage with other members of the community voicing their opinions, thoughts, and memories of Vietnam. I'm Terry Tensett, thanking you for listening to Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.